Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Here we go. It is sex therapy time. As always, a little ears warning with this one. Remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. And this week, it is time to answer your question. We have so many to get through. Thanks for emailing into jen@rte.ie. I'm delighted to be joined by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Hiya, Jen. Oh, I love these. We've got loads of questions, haven't we?
There's so many, and some about the same thing, which we'll kick off with, because I have a couple in here, which is all about premature ejaculation. So here we go. Question for Rachel. I am a gay man. I'm not comfortable receiving pleasure, per se. When I'm receiving, I finish very quickly and get very embarrassed. Is there anything I can do to last longer?
Oh, yes, there are loads of things you can do. So, people with penises can strengthen their pelvic floor muscles. That's something, you know, similar to what women do with their Kegels. That can help you last longer. Switching positions regularly, whether that's oral sex or penetrative sex, that can help quite a lot. Limiting the amount of thrusting. Something else you can do is trying edging, which is where when you're masturbating, you sort of delay your orgasm where you get close to ejaculation and then you back off a few times. That also can make orgasms much stronger. Another thing that you can do is just when you feel like you're about to ejaculate, squeezing right below the head of your penis, like sort of applying firm pressure with your thumb and forefinger and focusing the pressure on the urethra, which is the tube running under the on the underside of the penis. And just putting some pressure there for a couple of seconds can stop you from ejaculating, and then you can kind of keep going. So that there are some ways
amazing.
You can absolutely last
okay.
longer.
Okay. Can you ask Rachel, please, about sex after a full hysterectomy? I had my operation 3 years ago and penetrative sex is excruciatingly painful.
Oh, no.
Once the pain eases, I mean, thankfully, everything else is still fun, but he feels guilty. He's hurting me. She's talking about her partner. What causes this and how can I improve things?
Oh, this is really hard. You know, what she's talking about here is something called dyspareunia, which is the big umbrella term for pain during sex that doesn't have, you know, a very clear reason for it.
Mm.
But basically, especially for people who've recently undergone a partial or total hysterectomy, you know, it can be due to scar tissue that might be irritating the muscles and nerves. It can also be to do with pelvic floor muscles and nerve dysfunction that was actually present prior to the surgery. And then it can also be to do with, you know, sometimes it's to do with recovery time, although this person has said it's been years and it's still really painful. So it could be to do with the surgical menopause, you know, where the hormones change a lot after a hysterectomy. And then there can also be the emotional aftermath for some people. So, if it's to do with the surgical menopause, you know, it can mean that there is some vaginal atrophy, which means that the muscles and tissues of your like pelvic area and vagina get thinner and weaker, which can, you know, lead to uncomfortable and painful sex. So basically, as always, use tons and tons of lube. It could be that you might want to try hormone replacement therapy and have a few goes with that, get some really good healthcare providers around that. And also, it's a big transition, you know. For some people, going to therapy can be incredibly helpful to talk through the changes in their body, their experiences. So, you know, you definitely don't have to live with this kind of pain. But it would be very good to figure out exactly what it is that's happening, because sometimes it's to do with muscles being very tight, which can be a more psychological or emotional thing. And sometimes it's just way more to do with vaginal dryness, in which case, just use loads of lube.
Use loads of lube. Okay, we'll move on. Hi, I'm meeting my partner in the States in a few weeks. It's a long time since I've done anal and I want to, but I'm afraid of not having a clear anus. Advice, please, how to clean and prepare. Terrified of an accident.
Yeah, so first things first for this person, you don't have to have anal. You don't ever have to do that if you don't want to, but this person sounds like they probably do want to. But I find bum stuff is very popular and mysterious to many people, and we are notoriously embarrassed about it in Ireland. But I would say to this person, first decide beforehand what kind of anal play you're up for. Is that fingers, mouth, toy or penis? Doing things like making sure to go to the bathroom at least sort of, an hour before you do any anal, using loads and loads of lube again. Mm-hmm. Water-based if you're using condoms. You shouldn't use silicone-based lubes with condoms. Basically I would say no one needs to panic. If something happens, it's very, very rare that big accidents happen, but that it's as simple as washing yourself with a bit of soap and water, or changing the condom, washing your hands and getting on with your life, whether that means getting back to anal sex or not.
There we go.
But it can be as simple as cleaning the area with water and, a washcloth or a wipe. Some people prefer to do an enema or to douche beforehand. And so figuring out, there are lots of guides online for how to do that, simply so that you don't irritate yourself too much and you can feel super clean beforehand and have a great time.
There we go. On to a relationship one. We'll move swiftly away from the anal one. Hi, Jen. Please, can you ask Rachel, how can I trust my husband again after he got caught texting another woman? It was flirty. It was dirty. He said it meant nothing, but it was very hurtful for me. Would he have continued to want more if he wasn't caught? This texter says.
Oh, poor person. It's like we have no idea whether he would have continued. And I would say you need to have some more frank conversations with him and do not accept it meant nothing as an answer. Because although that might be true to some degree for him, there's still going to be a set of reasons, even if they are very straightforward. He was just a bit bored at the time, and it felt like something fun. It was available to him. Of course, the trust is going to be damaged after that. And you're going to be left worrying whether that is now, a constant risk. So I would say, sort out a time where you're both in a reasonably calm state, where you've had, a reasonable amount of sleep, you're not starving hungry, and, there aren't people all around you, and you can just sort of have some, straightforward, direct conversations about whether there is some deeper reasons as to why he's doing that. It could open up conversations about how you might feel more connected to each other, how you might have more sort of fun or interesting sex with each other. It might be that you are thinking about potentially exploring non-monogamy. There's all sorts of things that you could talk about, but I would say do not accept it meant nothing as an answer. Have more conversations and express that it was hurtful for you, and that you also will probably need a period of time to develop that trust back up with this person after it's been damaged.
Another relationship one. Hi, Jen. I'm hoping that you can help me out in sex therapy on Wednesday with Rachel. I've been with my husband 4 years. We have a great marriage and had a great sex life. But for a couple of months now, our sex life isn't the same. My husband works long hours, so he doesn't have to worry about money. And at Christmas time and other reasons as well, he's gone at 6:30 a.m. and home around 8:30 p.m. But the loneliness is killing me. He's too tired for anything, and I feel that he just doesn't see me anymore. And I know he loves me so much, and I love him, but I need him. I just feel sad and empty. I run the house and work, and I'm also doing a course. I have said to him already, and he says that he will fix it, and I don't want to keep saying it to him, but I feel terrible for saying it because I know why he's working these hours, and he has a lot of stress on his side also, which I don't want to say. But I feel selfish for feeling and thinking this way, but I feel I won't have a marriage if it keeps going. Or am I just being selfish?
Oh, this is such a common situation for people. And I think there's, some sort of stuff relating to like more traditional gender roles that can come into this. And then it can also be, just the bloody cost of living and trying to get by, and whether you've kids or mortgage and this sort of stuff. So, I think it sounds like this couple have already talked a bit about this, but it sounds like maybe he's in, he's probably so exhausted from working that he's kind of in a bit of denial as to the impact of this, and possibly just doesn't really feel very hopeful about how to make a change. So I would say, again, sitting down, putting aside time to have conversations about, there's nothing wrong with having emotional needs. Like, why would we, why would we sort of get together? Why would we get married? Why would we live together unless we wanted to spend time, some time at least, with our partners? And so, just sort of saying how much you're worried, rather than, and also bringing up that, like, you don't want to be nagging him. That's not the point of this. It's to be able to figure out together, which you might not know at the start of the conversation. You might not even have an answer, a solution by the end of the first of a conversation about this. It's going to take time to see, what little adjustments can be made. Can he go to work, you know, half an hour later or come back half an hour earlier, but make sure to spend that quality time with you, just sort of cuddling or having sex or chatting about things or having a laugh, you know, so that you can just start to have that little bit more connection. Because often, you know, when we feel that lonely, we feel like it's just this massive void and we feel so disconnected from our partner. But often it doesn't actually take that much of a quality time for us to feel a lot more connected and safe. And yeah, just
if you're going away, just don't get them to book the hotel. I think that's the main
exactly.
thing, because that would be a disaster. Let's talk about Bi Curious Fantasies. Oh my God, I love this show so much. This texter says, I'm a woman in my 20s and lately I've been having dreams about having sex with another woman. Does that mean I might be gay or bisexual?
No, it doesn't necessarily. People have fantasies and dreams about all sorts of things, and it doesn't have to mean anything. It can simply be something that your brain, you know, has kind of picked up on because of something that you saw. It could be simply, you know, your imagination, just because we kind of make connections between things and see different possibilities. But it also could mean that that's something that you're interested in exploring. But certainly just having a dream about anything doesn't have to mean anything
okay.
at all. You know, if it's like a very recurring dream, and let's say you're finding that you're very aroused during it, or you feel a lot of panic, you know, then maybe you might say, you know, it potentially it's still not about that, but it's probably giving you some sort of signal if your sort of unconscious is repeatedly giving you a similar sort of vibe or theme in a dream. But it might not be as sort of face value as just like, yes, this means that you're bi or gay. So I would say think more, watch some ethical porn, see if you're interested in. And again, even if you get aroused by watching, you know, sort of porn, bi or lesbian porn, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're bi or gay either. But yeah.
Okay, explore. Let's talk about this. Most somebody said, most of my male partners prefer sex in the morning, and I, a woman, way prefer sex before bed. Have I just been unlucky, or is this a thing? If it is a thing, am I doomed to be sexual incompatible?
Yeah, this is definitely a thing. Not for everyone, but you know, for people of all genders, testosterone plays a key role in sexual functioning. But for people with penises, testosterone is basically somewhere between 25 and 50% higher in the morning, usually between sort of 6 and 9 a.m. it seems. And women and people with vaginas tend to be at their lowest levels of testosterone first thing in the morning. So there's various hormonal reasons why men tend to prefer sex in the morning and women tend to prefer sex at night. And then, you know, sort of like a woman's like period cycle as well. That can be very much to do with, you know, fluctuating interest in desire and initiation and stuff like that. So really, this is about negotiation. You wouldn't believe the amount of couples, Jen, who've been having a load more afternoon sex, lunchtime sex, since the start of the pandemic.
I know. The afternoon delight. Mad about it. People are.
Exactly.
Let's talk about BDSM. I'm exploring BDSM with my partners and want to understand more about consent. Where does Rachel recommend I should start?
Yeah, so looking at consent models, there are so many out there now. We have ones like SSC, which is safe, sane, consensual. So safe meaning that you're protected from or not exposed to danger. Sane meaning that the kinks are considered reasonable practice. Consensual meaning that there is permission for the negotiated activity. Then we have other models like RAC, which is risk-aware consensual kink. PRIC, which is personal responsibility informed consensual kink. We have another one called the 4 C's, which is caring, communication, consent and caution. And you can read about all these online if you just Google them. And then another one is FRIES, F-R-I-E-S, which is freely given, reversible, informed, enthusiastic and specific. So, you know, reading about the different types of consent, there's things like informed, implied, explicit, active, passive, opt-out consent. There's tons of podcasts. There is Evie Lupine is someone who does a lot of YouTube videos. She's great, but there's absolutely tons out there now. So I would say there's just so much that probably just going and, you know, Googling, you'll find videos, podcasts, books, and, you know, have a look at some reviews and dive in.
Lovely. And lastly, I'm sorry if we didn't get to your question today. We will come back to this, but I just want to finish on this. Since I started taking antidepressants, my sex drive has been much lower and I'm finding it really hard to orgasm. I know this is often a side effect, but can you ask Rachel, is there anything I can do?
Yeah, you can definitely talk to your doctor about that. Sometimes people can change antidepressants, they can lower it. They can find out, like, you know, often there's just quite a bit of grief that people have when they feel like their libido or, you know, the way that they feel about sex has changed quite a lot. So sometimes actually just going and having some sessions with a therapist can be very helpful to talk that through, and then sort of getting around to, like, how has it changed? You know, you might find that, like with one of the questions earlier, you might find that now your libido is like where it used to be high in the morning, now it's really low. You might find that different types of activities are less arousing for you. You might also find that, that it's much harder to orgasm. And so you might just have to have a different kind of pressure or use a different kind of toy or something like that. So really just getting as explorative as you can, either both on your own and with a partner, if you've got partners involved. And so you can sort of just basically shift gears into seeing yourself as being kind of sexual in maybe a different way, which might shift back.
But don't accept it, I think, is the main thing. You don't have to accept it, that this is just a side effect and that's the way it is. I think that's important to say, isn't
it? Just like after surgery or menopause or, you know, pain during sex, discomfort, you do not have to accept this. Sometimes it does take a while to find the right professionals to really help you, and that can be quite a tiring process when you feel like people maybe aren't understanding or they aren't listening very well. But it's worth persevering. Try and get referrals from people that you know, talk about it with friends, and definitely see a sex therapist if that's something that's available to you, because that can, you know, really ease your mind and give you some new ideas for how to go about things, which can just help you feel a lot more sort of safe and comfortable and hopeful, which is very important.
Brilliant. As always, Rachel Cook, thank you so much. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she will be back next week. So if you have any questions, any more questions, there was a lot we got through there, and you would like us to put it to her, just get in touch with the team 24/7. You can mail us jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.